Want you to do a favor for me. I want you to take out your phone, if you have one with you. I want you to open up the phone, turn it on, or get wherever you need to go to the app called Facebook. If you don't have Facebook, you can get it. If you do have Facebook, then I want you to go on Facebook right now. I have never had a Facebook account until Friday. And Rob helped me set up my own personal account that I immediately said, make everything private and confidential so no one knows I'm there. And so you will never find me on Facebook, though I have an account. And I've gone to my account, and I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. And then go and search for First Baptist Church of Louisville, and you will find our website. What I want to ask you to do at the top there is to like it. If you click on it, get to actually our page. There it is, right there. You ought to see it. Then you can see where you can like and you can follow. So do that. And then if you scroll down a little bit, it'll say First Baptist Church is live now. I hope we're alive. I hope we're not dead. But it says our church we're live cast. We are live. We're on Facebook. And what you need to do is you scroll down is not only like it, but share it. If you see the word share, you can share this post and you can make a comment like boring sermon or whatever you want to do. You can copy it, but I want you to ask you to share it. And then I want you to take your phone, put it down, and listen. We're going online on Sunday mornings during this service. We're able to ramp up to do the message, the sermon. So that's what we're doing now. We're trying to work things out where we can include more of the service, including the music, but there's some copyright issues that go along with doing that. So we're starting out and ramping up slowly, but this is something that, you know, if you're not able to be here, or you would rather not be here, but want to keep up with what we're doing, then this will be every Sunday morning, right around between 9:55 and 10 o'clock when we go live. And I'd urge you to like it and to share it, to let your friends and neighbors know about it. It's just one more opportunity for us to let the world know about our core commitments. And those core commitments are, we're committed to Jesus, to his followers, and to his world. Say them with me. We're committed to Jesus. We're committed to his followers. We're committed to his world. That sounds very broad, but as we think of God's word and what God would have us to do with everything we do on our church campus, we want to let the world know who Jesus is. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit over these weeks. We've covered love. We've covered joy. Today, we come to the third one, which is peace. They're found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's familiarize ourselves with the ninefold characteristics that are called the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. What are we to make of this idea, this notion of peace? Back in the day, back in a previous generation, you might say, I used to see on the walls of buildings in downtown Little Rock, sometimes I saw it on the sidewalk, what we would call graffiti on the wall. It was just someone who was trying to get a point across. That's what graffiti is. It's free form. It's scripted. Sometimes it may have a character drawn with it. Usually it's just going to be a short phrase. And it's going to express an opinion. And then many times I remember In the area of Arkansas where I grew up, where there were lots of tensions going on in Little Rock regarding race and other issues of the day that still plague us, you would find graffiti where someone had written something and someone would come later and cross it out and mark something else in its place. Or sometimes you would just see just a listing, just a whole line by line going across an entire wall of a building that would express an opinion or disagree or say something else or cancel out what someone had said before. Graffiti on the wall. Today, we do it with social media. We do it with apps that you can go on and you can say something and then someone will come back and answer you perhaps or ask a question. You will even call it writing on my wall. You have your own wall, which is what the account of Facebook is really all about, as I understand it. So when someone writes on your wall or you write on your wall, you're expressing an opinion. There was a New Testament commentary written some years ago entitled The Garamus File, A Backdoor Look at the New Testament, by a guy named Gary Stanley. What Stanley sought to do in that popularized commentary was to put graffiti on the wall, if you will, to pretend that we lived in the first century and we lived in the area of Galatia. It's not a town, it's not one particular place, it's not one particular church, but it was a group of churches. And he wondered what it would be like if we took what the issues were in the book of Galatians, where the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned in chapter 5, and we could envision the graffiti on the walls of the cities of Galatia that would have reflected what we read in Paul's letter to the Galatian churches. So I want you to use your imagination for me just a moment, and let's pretend that we've got this huge wall and we're just walking through our city in the area of Galatia, and this graffiti on the wall basically reflects what Galatians is all about. The first thing we would see is this phrase scribbled out or drawn in large block letters. The only good Gentile is a circumcised Gentile. Scrap that out or scratch it out, and below it or beside it, someone answered and said, well, Abraham was a Gentile. Someone else added, long live the law. Added to that, graffiti that said, long live life. Then someone else sums it up and just says, so what? Then someone followed along, and as we're just reading the entire wall of graffiti, someone added, life stinks. Someone added to that, the law stinks. Someone added to that, Gentiles stink. Then somebody said, and summed it all up with their flowing script, grace isn't cheap, but it's free. Someone added to that, nothing is free. And then a poet among the people writing graffiti on the wall came up with a little limerick. There was a young man named Saul who changed his first name to Paul. It didn't make him an apostle or anything colossal, just a fellow with an awful lot of gall. Graffiti on the wall. Right under that, still yet, someone else expressing their opinion. A promise is a promise. Which leads us to the passage of the day. Someone's comment, the best fruit is the fruit of the vine. And someone added to that, amen. Red or white, I guess they would want to add after that. What do you make of such statements? I mean, we quickly went through a sampling of what graffiti might have said on the walls of the cities of Galatia based upon what this letter, what this little book is really all about. Which brings us to our list of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Well, whether you've read Galatians all the way through or not, it's not the point. And whether you kept up and could relate to some of the issues that theoretical graffiti on the wall might have addressed, we can all agree to this one thing, that the churches of Galatia faced some conflicts. They did. Theological conflicts. The whole idea of, are we saved by grace or are we saved by our works, by our own effort? That's what a lot of Galatians addresses. That's what Paul is talking about. There were some social conflicts that these people faced. Jews versus Gentile. It was a problem in the first century. It was a problem before the first century. It was a problem after the first century. We can take that and we can apply those conflicts to our own day and time, without a doubt. So they faced not only theological conflicts, not only social conflicts, but sexual conflicts. And I mean that in the sense of male versus female, male or female. What's the rightful place one to the other? Do they complement one another? Do they fight against one another? What's the place of a woman in the life of the church and leadership, etc.? Galatians deals with this idea of male versus female. Especially in a day and a time, in the first century world, where women and children didn't even count in the population. Remember, the New Testament writers just tell it like it is. On the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus fed a multitude that the Bible says numbered 5,000. 5,000 men aside from the women and the children. You almost look at that and wonder, well, what's going on? Well, it was a sign of the time. It was the first century sociological issue of the day. And so the graffiti on the wall of the cities of Galatia, don't ignore that. And then wrapped up around all of it are powerful personalities. You've got Saul, Paul, the man who someone said had a lot of gall. You've got others who followed Paul everywhere he went. They're called Judaizers. They came to uproot and to diminish his influence. So with all of that coming into play, where does peace fit in? Love. Joy. Peace. Julie helped us understand with the children some things about peace. We need to keep certain things in mind. In our day and time, this is a peace sign. But actually, it's a victory sign from World War II. Where if you see pictures of GIs who were giving it this, they were talking about the fact that the Allied troops were experiencing or shortly would experience victory. You've got the peace symbol. I didn't put it up on the screens for you today. I didn't really think about it. But if you can envision that circle with a line that goes all the way down the middle with two broken lines that almost look like stilted legs, that's known as the international peace symbol. But it actually didn't come around until 1958 in the United Kingdom as a sign for nuclear disarmament. And so the line and the broken lines form the letter D for disarmament, and N, nuclear disarmament, no more nukes. So you've got those kinds of things floating around in our culture. You've got songs, popular songs from previous generations, Give Peace a Chance. You've got the songs that I learned growing up at church. I've got what like a river? Peace like a river. Then we would add, I've got peace, love, and joy like a river. So this whole idea, this whole word, the concept going around with peace gets confusing. Way back in the first century or even before the first century, the idea of extending an olive branch, the olive tree, the olive branch symbolized peace, the cooling of hostilities between rival parties. So you have all of these things coming into play. And then the idea that we've just naturally grown up with, sometimes from the scripture, sometimes not, is that peace is basically the absence of conflict. That's not the case in the Bible. Peace is not the absence of conflict as much as it is in scripture, Old and New Testament, as it is the granting of all good things to a person or to a group, to a nation. You have these salutations and these benedictions in the New Testament, especially Paul's letters. Well, he'll begin a letter and say, "Grace and peace to you." Or he'll close out a letter and say, "Peace be with you." He's not just talking about the absence of conflict. He's talking about God's goodness given to us in its fullness. So we come back to Galatians. We come back to graffiti on the wall. And we begin to see that this group of churches that face some pretty tense issues, that there was indeed a peaceful solution. It would go back to perhaps some more graffiti on the wall of the cities of Galatia, if you use your imagination. Of all the things we mentioned that poke fun at or poke barbs at these issues that are coming up amongst all these churches, here's one that grabs our attention. It's simply this: know Jesus, and that's capital N-O, know Jesus, know peace. And then right below that, know Jesus, K-N-O-W, know Jesus, know peace. Clever, creative, you might say. The graffiti that usurps all the other barbed attacks, all the other snide remarks made about Gentiles, about the law, about the fruit of the vine. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. For you see, friends, when you take the concept of peace as it's illustrated in the scripture from the beginning to the end, and you add to that all of the books outside of the Bible that use the word peace out of the Greek language, and you research everything that you can, and you come up with all the variant uses of this term, peace, and everything that it entails, it comes down to two basic thoughts. That peace ultimately refers to peace with God. Peace through Jesus to God our Father. I mean, that cannot be overstated. That the idea of a peaceful life will not happen until we have peace with God. Not made our peace, that comes back and falls back on, I'm going to do something to make this relationship okay. It's the peace of God that comes over me and over you when we what? When we have God's peace reigning in our hearts. And how does that happen? It happens through Jesus. Jesus, the Christ, the Lord. Folks, when you read the title, when you read his name and the descriptive words, don't get caught in the trap that we all do, that it's Jesus Christ, first name and last name. No. Jesus, the Christ, a title. Jesus, not Lord, but capital L-O-R-D. Christ Jesus the Lord, we make our peace with God. We attain peace with God when we accept Christ into our lives. That's our core commitment. We're committed to Jesus. We're committed to the peace that we find through Jesus with God. That's one of the applications of the word peace in its broadest sense. When you deduce it all the way down, when you narrow it down to its ultimate truth, it's peace with God, followed by peace with one another. Peace among mankind. You see, that's it. You can talk about this shade of meaning. You can talk about this application of where it is here in this book or this historian who said this. But from the perspective of the fruit of the Spirit, it's peace. Peace that we have with the Creator who put us here upon this earth, and we turned away from Him, and we find that fulfillment. We find that relationship made right, not on our account, not because of anything we have done, but because of Jesus, which gives us the opportunity, now that we have peace individually with the God who created us, we have the opportunity to have peace with one another. And this is where it really hits home. You remember all those graffiti sayings we mentioned just a few minutes ago? Most of those were what? Were barbs at one another. They were little cutting remarks. They were disparaging someone else's idea, someone else's conviction. But when you have peace with God, when you got that issue settled, then the goal of having peace with one another, beginning with God's family, begins to take on a whole new meaning. Tonight, we're going to have a business meeting. I've often called them, because we have them four times a year, quarterly BMs. You can call them whatever you want. But they're quarterly business meetings. And this is not a quarterly business meeting. This is a special call business meeting. And I bring it up today because it's an important business session. Whether you understand the Baptist way of doing things, one of the reasons that I have remained a Baptist all of my life, there's any number of times when I could have walked away from our core beliefs. Thankful that I did not. But one of those is the fact that we do things as a congregation. We make choices. There's not one person who knows the will of God in these issues. There's not one boss who says, this is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to be. It might be easier, some may think, to get things done if that's the way it was, but that's not the way we operate as a church. We try not to be so tedious about it, but sometimes we simply have to set aside time to discuss an important issue. And we have one of those that's been called that we will have at 6 o'clock tonight here in this room. I would invite all of you to come, especially I would require almost, if I could, though I can't, that if you're a member of this church, you have an obligation to be here, to be in your place as an informed, prayerful member of our congregation to help us make an important decision. It has everything to do with expanding our facilities. I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but it is the fact that we've come to the point now where we have committees and teams that have been working hard. I'm talking hard for years. And they now have brought it to where the church has got to say, we move forward, we do it at this price, or we back away and do it from another angle or start over again. I don't know what's going to happen. I know that we're going to discuss it, and I know that we're going to vote, but other than that, I know about as much as you do. So in the spirit of not graffiti on the wall, but the fruit of the Spirit, let me ask you Let me ask of all of us to do the following tonight. Clarify the issues in anything that you face, whether it's a church congregation, whether it's a family issue, whether it's just your own personal walk with Christ. Peace comes when you understand the issues around you. And tonight, one of our reasons to meet is so that we can do just that. Hopefully, there's some printed materials that you've already read through. There are some more that you can pick up on the way out of the room today that will give you the opportunity to clearly understand what it is we're voting on tonight. To know what we're going to get for $10.9 million. That's what the motion says, if the church so approves that. To understand those things. Not every detail can be nailed down, but the main issues certainly can. Then to follow that up with acknowledging that the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of God, is sufficient. God's Spirit will lead and guide us tonight if we allow His Spirit. And His Spirit is totally sufficient. God's Spirit does not get its rightful place in civic life or political life, government. I understand that. But the Holy Spirit of God takes preeminence here in this room. And all God's people said, amen. So keep that in mind. Now here's one that's especially hard for most of us. Acknowledge that we're partly right. I would say it personally. I'm partly right, which means I may not be 100% right. I may not know exactly what needs to be done. None of us do. We all have opinions. We all have convictions. We all have things we want to say. You'll have that opportunity, but keep in mind that we don't have it all together, not one of us. We're partly right. So the issue is going to be to pursue what is right, not who is right. So much of the time we turn issues into personal battles. We focus upon a person, and I know leadership carries with it that aspect. I'm not shying away from that. No one should on a committee that's going to be discussing this tonight, all the way down to whoever shows up. We need to be knowing that God's Spirit is sufficient, and our goal is to find out what is right, regardless of trying to say who is right, which really means who is wrong. And then the ultimate goal, the bottom line, you're going to take it all and add it up at the bottom to see where it all comes out. It's going to be this, that our church, our lives, should glorify God. Our lives, my life, my thoughts, my speech, my attitudes, and that of our church, is to glorify God who put us here. Because we have peace. We have peace with Him. And that peace that comes through Jesus Christ allows us to have peace with one another. So, next time you see that graffiti on the wall, it still exists. I'm talking about big old letters on bridges, overpasses, railroad cars. Or if it's the digital wall, let's remember who we are and whose we are. And let's pursue peace. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here, to be in your presence, to acknowledge that you are our Creator, the Lord of Lords, that there is nothing that escapes your watchful eye. And so, Father, we pray that in these closing moments together in this hour, that we put our focus upon you, These are the prayers that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. How do we wrap up an hour like this? We wrap it up the way we always do. We make choices. We give opportunity for people to make choices. It could be that you're here today and you've never said yes to having peace with God, which means you've never taken Jesus Christ, made him your Lord and Savior. That's a choice that you make, a prayer that is prayed. There'll be ministers and deacons standing here to guide and to comfort and to pray with you. We ask you to step out, come forward, for you to accept that peace which God provides, to become a follower of Jesus. Maybe you know him, just haven't ever told anyone. Tell us. Profess your faith. Follow him in believer's baptism. There's water up there, and it's there for a reason. Let's talk about what that symbol means. And if you've yet to experience believer's baptism, being immersed of your own choosing, let's talk about what that means and why it's important. A church. Church to call your own. A church family. Place to belong. This place to belong. If that's what you want to do today, how do you join a church like ours? You come forward. Much more to it. We would encourage you to find a place to serve and to connect with a small group and Bible study. But to be a part of First Baptist Church, Lewisville, Texas, it's a privilege. If God so leads you to join with us. So we offer that. And then for most of us, it's all the myriad of issues we face. Tonight, as we gather as a church to make important choices, yes. The way you treat others at work, absolutely. The way you treat your family, peace, would that characterize your life? Peace with God, peace with others. If not, what's it going to take? Obedience. So if you desire peace, commit to it. I promise you this, God will direct your steps. That is our invitation. We stand together, we sing, we wait for you here. As God leads, you step out and respond.